2008. This is show number 284. I'm Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. That's my gamer tag. Sitting right here next to me is his gamer tag is E. E, say hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Did you take extra radio voice pills today?
I did. I've got my FM voice on today. We're going to take calls later on, and we're going to open up the phones and go to traffic and weather.
Excellent.
You know, E, did you take sick pills?
Yes, I managed to take the awesome 24-hour cold pill.
What's going on with that?
I rolled back into town. I was doing great. And then I was like, oh, allergies. And I woke up the next morning and went, wow, I'm sick.
So last week you were not here. I found out it, well, I
told you I wasn't going to be here.
Did you? I don't remember.
I did. Yes.
I don't remember.
I did.
Why don't you tell folks where you went?
I was in Hawaii.
Mm.
It was nice. Sun, sand, surf,
liquor. It's never nice in Hawaii. I mean, it's just always gorgeous there.
Yeah.
It's never not nice, I meant to say.
Exactly. It was, it's been a while since I've had a vacation like that. I needed it.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
We had last week, I had a show with, you know, since when I remembered that you weren't going to be here, when I checked my calendar and I sent you an email and got an out of office, I said, I got to come up with something. So I booked all these interviews and was able to struggle through. It's not like I haven't done the show before by myself.
You're out of practice, though.
No, it was fine. So we did that. You missed some great interviews last week. Did you listen to the show last week?
I have not. I've been trying to catch up ever since I got back.
Okay. Well, welcome back.
That's the amazing thing is you leave work for 1 week and you come back and you're 2 weeks behind.
It's the law of email and among other things. So, thanks for downloading the show, folks. I appreciate it. It's something that E and I like to do each week is sit here and talk about games we're playing. I've got some interviews for you this week. Much like every week, some star-studded interviews. We're going to be talking about Battlefield Bad Company, which released this week, and Command & Conquer's Kane's Wrath.
So real quickly though, speaking of the law of email,
mm-hmm.
So like you, I've got dozens and dozens of little subfolders that email gets automatically filtered into.
Mm-hmm.
Just my main inbox, though, you know how many unread mails I have right now?
How many?
2,574.
How many items do you have?
Tens of thousands. I don't think I want to know.
Yeah, I don't want to know either. I'm looking at mine, and it's pretty gross.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's... What are you playing? What did you play on your way to Hawaii? You were playing some DS games?
I played a lot of DS games.
Good.
One of them I talked about, I guess, 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Mystery Dungeon, Shirin the Wanderer,
mm-hmm.
Which was a lot of fun. It's got a high difficulty level. I starved to death a lot. And I was starting to get kind of cranky about it.
Right.
And I was complaining that, I keep starving to death. And my girlfriend was like, you're doing it wrong. And I'm like, no, that's just the way games like this work. Trust me. No, you're doing it wrong.
I know. She picked it up and finished it.
No, she didn't.
Oh.
Thankfully.
I thought that's where this was going.
No. She was addicted to The World Ends With You.
So let me get this straight. You go to Hawaii with her, and you guys are playing DS games?
On the plane.
Okay.
And a little bit back in the room, like, 2 a.m., nothing on TV. Oh, I'll play DS before I can go to bed.
Where did you go in Hawaii?
Oahu.
I know, but where did you, go around the island, the big island?
Not really. We had a whole bunch of plans of doing all sorts of touristy stuff, but we mostly wound up on the beach, by the pool, drinking fruity drinks.
Did you get up to the North Shore?
No.
Really?
We did very little. Honestly, it was, get up around noon,
right,
have something to eat, go spend a couple hours by the ocean, come back, have something else to eat, spend a couple hours by the pool.
That's vacation.
Have dinner. Yeah.
That's vacation. Well, welcome back, and it's good to have you. It's even though what 360 games have you been playing? You want to talk about that?
I have really only been playing one 360 game the last few days since
yes.
I got back.
Yes.
We can't talk about it because it's not quite out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But
we have mentioned it in past shows.
We have mentioned it before, and I'm sure most people will have a pretty good idea of what it is, and we'll be talking about it soon, I'm sure.
I'm sure we will be. So what am I playing? Well, I talked last week. I finished the campaign for Battlefield Bad
Ooh.
Company.
Uh-huh.
I'll talk about that in the interview today.
Which we were going to play last night.
I didn't want to talk about it, man, because I told you, I said, E, let's play some Battlefield because I'm gonna be interviewing, you know, one of the guys, the senior producer from Battlefield, and I've played a lot of it, and you were too busy.
How many times have I told you not to wait until like the end of the day to say, hey, let's play today? You got to plan earlier in the day, because by then we'd already bought movie tickets for a midnight showing.
All right.
And we had to go get dinner before the midnight movie.
All right.
And so.
So I'm playing Battlefield. I finished the campaign, had a great time. I'm playing with KP and I played a little bit of it, some folks around the live team. Played with some community members as well. Well, in Halo, it's called partying up. Is this called squatting up? Because you'd get a
that
squat.
It doesn't really have a very good ring.
No, it doesn't have a good ring at all. So we squatted up. I'm going to use it anyway.
Oh, great.
We squatted up and we went in and we played, and I'm having a good time. So maybe you and I can play, you know, when you get better.
This weekend we should be able to get some in sometime. I mean, Sunday night?
Right.
After the show goes up, that should work.
So the big news this week, before we get to the interviews, the big news this week is, as promised, on schedule, we shipped the...
Schedule.
We shipped the license transfer tool for your Xbox 360, also known as the DRM tool.
Yes, we did.
And that went out on Thursday around 12 noon Pacific. I've been working on that for quite some time with the team here. Well, they've been doing all the work. I've been trying to figure out what it is. I did a video. I wrote a video and shot a video for it. I didn't shoot it myself. I mean, we had other people.
It's a great video.
Are you making fun of me?
A little bit.
Well, it's
like I told you when I first watched the video.
Yes.
So anyone who's ever watched like late night TV has seen the ads for Video Professor.
Yes.
That's exactly the way it comes off. Brilliant.
Well, here's why. We did this because there's a lot of people that do not listen to this show for whatever reason, are not aware of it.
Yes.
They're coming to Xbox.com and they want to learn about this. So I had to put on my industrial video face.
What?
Like you just standard educational video face saying, hello and welcome. So it's one of those.
It was awesome.
So it was kind of one of those things that I had to do. So anyway, so we did the video. We produced that earlier in the week. You know, I had to write it and get it ready and so on and so forth. So
it was
enough about the video.
Does this mean that people can stop posting on the blog? Going, you said it'd be here in June. June's almost over. Where is it?
You'd think. they're now on to doing a critique of my performance.
On the video?
On the video.
Excellent. So, I'll have to go read that.
That's fine. Anyway. So there's actually some FAQs. There's a really important. Don't go through the process if you don't need to.
Yes.
You can perform it once every 12 months. And there's an FAQ up that that I'll link to, and that you've got it up in front of you there. I don't know if we want to read the whole thing.
I was just going to look here and see if there's anything on here that we should talk about.
The most important one is that if you had your console previously gone through the repair center here, the Microsoft Repair Center, you don't need to do this. You don't. We do that for you, so that doesn't count as one of your times every 12 months.
Yes, and I'll just real quickly, I'll read the what is the license transfer tool paragraph.
Hey, E, what is the license transfer tool?
I'm glad you asked, Major. The license transfer tool on Xbox.com lets you consolidate all of your downloaded content licenses to one console. For example, if you downloaded items from Xbox Live Marketplace on one console, then purchased another console later on and downloaded more content to the new one, your content would be licensed to two consoles. This tool lets you download your older content licenses to the new console.
Now, there's an example that I put up on my blog with this post of I went through the tool myself, went through the wizard, and did a capture of all the consoles that I have purchased content on around the world. Because when I'm traveling, when I go to Europe or I go to Tokyo or E3 or wherever I am, if we need something, a piece of content, if I have the access to it, maybe a new arcade game came out that week and I want to try it, I'll buy it.
I think the real takeaway here is when it comes to content, you're promiscuous.
Yeah, and I even put that in the post. I was just like buying things willy-nilly. So now if I want to, I can go ahead and take my my licenses and consolidate them to one console at home or here at work.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was great news this week. So great work to all the teams involved. There were many, many teams involved because it's not something easy. You just turn on a switch. A lot of work happened there. So thank you to the teams that made that happen.
Absolutely.
What other news do we have this week, E?
Did other things happen this week?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I think, you know what's really bothering me?
Hmm.
Twitter's being really weird.
Twitter is continuing to have scalability problems.
Twitter's sick.
They did just get an influx of cash from the founder of Amazon.
Right.
Or they announced it. I don't know if they actually have it yet.
Right.
That supposedly is going to be used to beef it up and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't use Twitter, so I don't have these problems.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
well,
I seem mostly now to see people. Since I don't use Twitter, where I see people's Twitters is on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
for people that have tied their Twitter status to their Facebook status.
Guilty as charged.
And about half of the Twitters I see are people complaining about Twitter.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, but I just thought I'd bring that up. Let's see, I did the Sirius show this week. I do Sirius Radio each week. You can listen to me. Each Tuesday, we are live at 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific, and we take phone calls.
Which is why you can never go to lunch with me on Tuesdays.
Well, not until 12. Right. I mean, I'm sitting here. I'm over here doing the show.
You're usually wanting to eat at like 11:05.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, 11:15.
Sometimes I get hungry. Did the show this week. What else did we do this week?
We got a bunch of demos this week.
Got a bunch of demos. You know, before we get to the demos, I want to talk. We have a new Inside Xbox video partner.
Ah, that's right.
Jessica Chobot from IGN. You may you probably know her from IGN. I was down in San Francisco recently, and I shot a little welcoming video, welcoming her to the Inside Xbox family.
Hello, Jessica.
So welcome again. She was really, really quite nice. So she'll have a piece up each week, and go and see that. So we've got you know, I'm there, Trixie's there each week. We've got Pick Up and Play. Nelson and Natalie are there each week. We got Jessica. We got the guys from OXM. I mean, and of course we have Denny and Ryan doing their Insider Moves. Which, if you haven't seen this is just a brilliant piece. They do a great job with that.
What they do this week? Do you know?
Battlefield. They do Battlefield.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So they do Battlefield. So anyway, so let's talk about the demos and what went up on Marketplace, and then we're going to roll into these interviews.
So a bunch of demos. I know in last week's show you talked about Don King Presents Prize Fighter.
Well, actually, I had interviewed Don King. You missed that.
That's
interview.
Right.
You missed the interview.
That one I will go back and listen to.
So I asked, I think in the I don't know how long, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, I think I asked two or three questions, and Don just kind of, Don did his own thing.
I'm not surprised at all by that.
So it was but the demo, we didn't know the demo was coming out at that point, and the demo came out like the next day. So
okay.
So anyway, Don King is out. What else we got?
The Dragon Ball Z BL. I'm trying to remember what that stands for. Anyways, the new Dragon Ball Z demo is out in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a Top Spin 3 demo.
Mm-hmm.
And just this Friday, a demo went up for Lego Indiana Jones.
Yeah, so and that's available. Most of those are available worldwide in all Xbox Live regions. Indiana Jones is a ton of fun.
Yes, and also there's a demo up for Civilization Revolution,
which is also a good game. I've heard.
Yes, I've heard it's a very good game.
So you should go ahead and check that out. Arcade titles this week. You want to talk about the arcade titles this week?
Let's.
So there's two of them that came out. Do you want to talk about them? Ticket to Ride, which is a lot of people around here were excited about Ticket to Ride.
Well, this week the arcade games came out on the day I got sick, so I have not seen either of them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So yeah, Wednesday was like 4 a.m. Wednesday where I just all of a sudden.
So you can actually pinpoint a time?
Yeah, because I couldn't sleep. So I thought it was just really bad hay fever.
Right.
And, you know, I thought maybe being gone for a week, my body wasn't used to the pollen or something.
Right.
And then I got back and it started getting worse and getting worse. And then like 4 a.m. Wednesday, all of a sudden I went, wow, I'm really sick. I'm clearly not going to work today.
Right.
And then I took the really heavy drugs.
I didn't know you weren't
sleep.
Even here. So people think that like you and I our offices are next to each other, and they used to be a long time ago. But now your office is like two buildings away, and sometimes I don't even see you.
I didn't go anywhere. We kicked you out of the building.
Yeah. So
so
anyway, arcade this week, Ticket to Ride, which is based on the hit board game, and then the other arcade title that was released is Happy Tree Friends False Alarm. I haven't looked at that one yet, but the title's amusing.
I looked at the screenshots and it went, huh, and it's based on. I'm trying to remember, is it a webcomic? I think it's a webcomic. But it's based on a popular source material that I know nothing about.
All right, so we're going to, we've kind of gone through what's going on with Live, what we're playing. We're going to stop now, and we are going to, I've got some interviews for you. Here we go. Direct from DICE over there in Sweden is Carl Magnusson Trudsen's on the line with me. He's the senior producer for Battlefield Bad Company. Carl, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Now, I've got to tell you, I know a lot of folks are excited about Battlefield Bad Company. It's available now around the world. What was it like working on this game?
Well, it's been very hectic from time to time. We've been working a long time on it. I mean, we not only created the game, we also built the Frostbite game engine at the same time. So there's been busy days, and there have been very busy days, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, really, the game, there's two parts to the game, the single player and the multiplayer, and I want to talk about those individually. But, I mean, it goes without saying that the Frostbite engine is really an extraordinary leap ahead in technology for the Battlefield series. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, when we started out the project, we felt that since this was going to be a console installment only, we felt that in order to take that leap, we wanted to make the most out of the next-gen console out there. And when we started this discussion about the product, I mean, this was even before the console showed up. So it was all glorious days where the console could do anything. So we aimed very, very high with the technology in the background to make the most out of the engines.
Yeah, I mean, and for those people that haven't seen it yet, first of all, there's a demo available for download from Xbox Live, so you can go ahead and not only is the demo, I mean, it's got the multiplayer, but you also include a little bit of single player in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, the proposition of the game is that it's both. It's the first time in a Battlefield game that we actually have a single-player campaign as well. So when we sat down and thought about the demo, we felt, you know what, the actual gigabyte size of the demo is going to be huge, but we really wanted to show everyone both the multiplayer and the single-player.
The one thing I noticed, I told you that right before we started recording, is I finished the single player a few days ago, and it was just a ton of fun. It really sets you up nicely for the multiplayer. I mean, often you'll play a single player version of a game, and then you go play the multiplayer, and it feels like it was developed by two different teams, which sometimes it was. But this one, a lot of what I learned in the single player, I was able to take into the multiplayer, so that was actually really exciting. A lot of the weapons. Let's talk about the single player for a moment. What can fans expect from the single player?
Well, I mean, I guess that if you're a hardcore Battlefield fan, there are a couple of things that you actually will definitely recognize in the single player, and that's the core mechanic of the game, the layer of gameplay, which is what we usually call the sandbox experience, that you have a lot of freedom as a player, and we in the single player, we tell them where they need to go and where they need to destroy or what they need to complete objective-wise, but how they do that is completely up to the player, and that's very similar to how you play the multiplayer, that if you want to drive a tank, you want to fly a helicopter, you want to steal a boat and try to run down the enemies or whatever, you can do that. That's the freedom you have as a player, and that's a very common layer in between both the single player and the multiplayer in that company.
Yeah, the multiplayer, the single player, as I said, when I was playing through it, it really, the story, there's actually a lot of story here. You guys did a nice job on the story.
Yeah, we felt that. I mean, we have done bot matches in Battlefield. I mean, Battlefield was a multiplayer game from the beginning, and this is, as I said, the first game with a true offline campaign in it. But we felt that we can't just do another bot fight or something like that. It was actually two reasons. A, that we wanted a really, really good campaign because we think that that's what the console audience out there demands, pretty much. But it also, for us as game developers, that's what we wanted to do. I mean, we'd never really done this kind of offline campaign with stories and characters and cinematic pauses in between, etc. So it felt like a natural next thing to take for the franchise.
What was it like? You talked about how you haven't, you know, for generally speaking, you haven't done the campaigns in a true story mode before. What was that like for your team for the first time to have to start developing a story?
I mean, we have quite some people have been working on this game that haven't been working with single-player games before from other studios or other titles, etc. But so we had some experience, but a lot of it was actually new from our end when it comes to how are we going to do this. And at the same time as that can be a bit of a problem, it's also always good to have a couple of fresh eyes on something when you do it. And we sat down with thought, what do we want out of the single player? Yes, we want the similar mechanics as in multiplayer. So as you said, as you play single player, you will learn a lot that sets you up for multiplayer. We also came to the conclusion that we wanted a different attitude. We wanted, you know, this kind of, that makes it feel a bit different. Not just another run-of-the-mill kind of single-player story, which is slapped on top of something else. And so I think it was both a pro and a con when it comes to setting up for us if you're going to achieve what we wanted with the game.
Yeah, as I was playing through the multiplayer, first of all, it was fun with the achievements. You threw in, as you know, some nice random achievements in there that I kind of smiled as I got them. I don't want to provide any spoilers, so I won't give any away. But I want to go through how many weapons and how many vehicles are in the single player, and then we'll talk about the multiplayer, because it just felt like I was just always running into something new.
Yeah, I mean, Battlefield has always been based around, as I said before, the choice. There's always a lot to choose from, and that also means that there's a lot to choose from, not only in the multiplayer, but in the single player as well. I don't have the exact number here, but I think we have at least something like 50 different handheld weapons and gadgets that you can have in the game. And these are spread out over the five different classes and all these kind of things that you, in the multiplayer, the more you rank up, the more things you can unlock. And then vehicle-wise, I think I'm not lying when I say that we have something like 25 different vehicles in the weapons, and this is not including all the different stationary weapons like the artillery and the machine guns, etc.
Yeah, and there's actually, again, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but there's a vehicle in here that I was completely surprised to run up against. And I'll just describe it as a recreational vehicle.
Yeah, it was one of those things that just got added to the game very late in the process. And, well, we all had a lot of fun when we added that one.
And when players go through the single player, that object does not exist in the multiplayer, correct?
No, it doesn't. We actually okay. we didn't have time to do the actual multiplayer version of that same map, but we'll see what we can do in the future there.
Yeah, it's because I don't want to spoil it, but when players reach that, they'll know exactly what we're talking about. Now let's switch over to the multiplayer, because there's a lot mm-hmm. of nuances to the multiplayer. I'm noticing that, you know, I find weapons in the single player. There's kind of this metagame where you have to find all these weapons that the enemies are dropping and so on and so forth. So there's that metagame, but then how does that translate over into the multiplayer?
Well, I mean, when you actually find them in the single player, that isn't really connected to the multiplayer, because the multiplayer has a very deep persistent, but it isn't directly sure. connected to the single player. And the reason for that is that we want the people that really play online, and they rank up and they get different, you know, all the points there, we want to reward them with the unlock points. So you actually have to play against human players to get all the weapons that are available. But that means that there's a lot of different things that you can unlock in the game. For instance, if you prefer playing the demolition class, there is several different new shotguns that you can unlock, and there is also gadgets, etc., that you can upgrade your kit with.
Yeah, so the weapons, so you talked about the fact that it's always really exciting when you're playing the multiplayer and you get a notification that you've ranked up and you now have another point to quote-unquote go spend on some of these unlockables. So it's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's one of those things where I actually sat at one of the unlockable screens for like 5 or 10 minutes and was like, well, I was so pained at what I wanted to do. You know, where
yeah,
did
you
I
have
want
to select carefully.
Yeah, you have to select very carefully. What are some of those unlocks that we see in terms of not only the weapons, but some of the equipment the equips?
Yes, some of the gadgets that I can, you know, under the radar make a tip. I mean, it's often good as a player to start unlocking the actual gadgets, because each kit has a couple of different gadgets that they can choose from that are pretty powerful. And a couple of examples from the Recon class, for instance, which is basically the sniper class in the game, they have something called the Laser Designator, which is the a device that you aim at vehicles, hard targets, and you fire a laser beam. And if you keep it pressed and locked for X amount of seconds, you can have some, how do you say in English, heavy ordnance coming in from airplanes, etc., bombs being dropped from the sky that you then right. have to guide in, mm-hmm. which as you unlock that to the Recon class, makes it much, much more powerful than what it was before, because now you can actually really take out vehicles as well. Or you have the mortar strike radio for the support class, that not only makes him a defensive kit, but also a very offensive, because he can order down this shower of mortar rains, which is great against infantry coming up on the when you do, especially playing as a defender.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of those that you go through, and then you've also got the injector for the infantry, you know, the mm-hmm. life injector, which you kind of you're exposed to that in the single player, and you're actually exposed to all of these in the single player, correct?
Absolutely. There's all these different elements of the game are presented in the single player, so you get to, you know, learn how to control it, etc. Maybe not the tracer dart gun, you don't get to use that much in single player, but that's definitely one of the more hardcore gadgets that we have in the game.
Explain how that works, because I was using that last night and I was a little wanted to make sure I'm using it right. Explain how that one works.
Yeah, it's one of the toughest ones. It demands a lot of teamwork, actually, but it's very, very interesting when you start to use it. It's if you play the specialist class, meaning that you're very sneaky, you got the silence weapons and these kind of things, you also have something called the tracer dart gun. And that means that if you sneak up to vehicles and tag them with this, it's got a pretty short range, so you have to get in close to the vehicles as well. But if you then tag them, there's a small thing just giving off signals, which means that anyone playing the demolition class, if they zoom in with their RPGs, the rocket-propelled grenades, they will actually make the grenades homing, meaning that you can fire around corners, you can fire over hills or these kind of things, meaning that if the demolition guy managed to take out a target that's been tagged by a specialist, they both get points. So if you're two people playing in a squad and you really want to have some time, you know, some fun messing around with the enemy, have one of your friends hide just by the road or somewhere where all the vehicles drive by. Have him tag them and just fire rockets from wherever you are, and they will home in and destroy that target very quickly.
And it'll be one of those moments where you're like, what happened? I don't know. I never exactly. even saw him.
And it looks very nice as well when you see the trail coming in, the trail after the rocket, and it just turns around the corners or whatever it might be. So.
Now, the other thing about this one is is just, as we talked about a little bit earlier, is just the sheer amount of weapons. Now, a lot of these weapons, I recognize the names, you know, are all of these based on real world weapons?
Yes, they are. I mean, it's always been a key thing for, at least the Battlefield games that is have a modern day setting, that we use real weapons. Some of them we have to name in different ways, but all of them have the real life equivalent as they are.
Yeah, because it's pretty extraordinary. I mean, I've been getting used to the shotguns and some of the other ones. And what was great is that people may or may not know this. If you downloaded the demo and you, I believe you got to the third level in the multiplayer, you actually were awarded a weapon for the infantry class.
Absolutely, it's like a free unlock. You actually get the Uzi in the game.
Yeah, so that was actually a fun discovery as well. So I know a lot of people are doing that, but I want to shift focus for a moment and talk about the Frostbite engine. We talked about it at the beginning of the interview, but this is really an extraordinary leap in technology, because if unless you really experience it, and I urge people to go download the demo and ultimately get the game, but it's really interesting. Basically, you're providing an environment built with this engine that's almost 100% destructible, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that was the goal that we had. I mean, not 100% is destructible. I think we've said something about 90% of it. But that was one of the key goals for this new technology, not just to build another engine that can render it in higher resolution or just more prettier or with more effect or something like that. We felt that in order to make it into a true next-gen game, whatever that means definition-wise, but just to make it into something really new and fresh and innovative, there needs to be something that actually changed how you play the actual game. And that's when we felt, as developers, that the natural next step for a shooter, and perhaps especially for Battlefield, was to add the destruction in the game, meaning that all the things that used to be static, you know, if you run up to a small tent, for instance, in all the other games, you know, that's completely, you can't just shoot through it, you can't destroy it. If you hide in there, the tank can't run you over or something like that. All that just goes out the window now with the new engine and Bad Company, because that tent provides pretty much no cover for anyone firing at it and it will completely disappear.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I noticed it, when it was actually in the beta, you guys did a beta earlier in the year, and I assumed you collect all sorts of data from that, and you rolled that into the multiplayer, correct?
Absolutely.
But in the beta, it was the first time when I was standing there in a building, I was like on the second floor, and literally the entire side of the building was blown off, and what I thought was a safe house, no longer a safe house. I was exposed, and I was running for cover. And until you experience that, it's pretty interesting to see how that's used in the gameplay, because not only in the single player, but it really dramatically impacts the single player and obviously the multiplayer as well, because you get to make your own path.
Yeah, the problem that we had in games before, that if you run down that street, you know that there's going to be 10 snipers down the end of the street, and they're all going to be watching that street where they know that people are going to be running down. I mean, just use for instance, the underslung rifle grenade launcher that you have on the assault class. I mean, they can blow holes in the walls and just go from house to house to, like, mouse their way through instead of going down that very dangerous sniper alley or something like that. So it definitely changes how you play the actual game, and I think when people really dig into, especially the multiplayer, they will start to realize that it does really change how you play it. And you have to think differently, because if you're a sniper, for instance, you're standing in a window, and if somebody spots you, you won't really have that much cover if they have the right firepower to just take out the wall. And if that doesn't kill you, they can open fire because you don't have any cover anymore. So it leads you to play in a different way, where you move, you shoot, you move, and you shoot. You keep much more mobile than what you've done before, because that will help you stay alive longer.
Yeah, you really have no choice. I also noticed that as the game advances, whether you're the defenders or the attackers, that the area that was the previously contested area is just destroyed. I mean, the buildings are blown to bits. There's craters everywhere from the bombs being called in. It's really extraordinary to go back and revisit what was once a nice pristine farmhouse is now just decimated.
Yeah, I like that you say that. I mean, that was a key part of the art direction of the game, that we wanted this before and after feeling. So we have these rural, nice little Eastern European villages, and then we just tear everything apart, and we got ground destruction, all the vegetation is blown out, all the houses are burning, and all the walls are gone, and all the objects have been destroyed. I mean, that was the feeling that we wanted to actually just get, that feeling that after the battle had been going through this area, it's going to be completely destroyed.
Now, in the multiplayer, you're supporting up to 24 players on a server, correct? Or on a
That's
game?
Right.
I want to talk. Can you walk me through some of the maps? Because I played a map last night. I believe it's called Valley Run, which was just a blast. I completely enjoyed that map.
Yeah, it's one of the favorites. One, it was one of the actual the first maps that we started prototyping here. It's an it's a very rural with the area with a lot of farms. You could say that it's some kind of Eastern European settings, and it has a lot of vehicle combat, but also places where you can have some pretty nice infantry fights, both for close combat experts like the specialists, but also especially recon people and the support class. It's one of those really, really nice maps where the Gold Rush game mode comes to its best, I almost dare to say.
Yeah, and can you just kind of quickly run through maybe some of the other maps that we can see in rotation?
Absolutely. I mean, looking at it from a bit of a distance, we have two different kinds of maps, which we have tried to create to cater for two different needs of the player. And so we have maps that are more open, that has a lot more vehicle combat, but we also have maps that are much more tighter, infantry-based, where it's more close combat and not so many vehicles. If you played Oasis, for instance, in the demo, which is one of our desert maps, it's one of the vehicles-oriented ones. It has a lot of vehicles, helicopters, boats, tanks, light tanks, jeeps, you name it. But it also has, in the latter part of the map, you also have a pretty tight urban area where the tank has less of an impact because there's so much houses just all around it. We have Final Ignition, which is a tighter infantry map, also in the desert setting, which is quite a lethal level because there's so much. It's in the middle of a refinery, so there's a lot of explosive things placed everywhere, so you have to watch out as the attacker which route to take, because if the defenders might take out a gas silo or something like that, that will prove for some very devastating shockwaves going through and might take you out as you approach the target, so to say. I mean, altogether, there's 8 different maps to choose from, and they span similar settings that you will experience in the actual single-player campaign as well. So there are maps that are set out in Russia and Eastern Europe, and also in the more like desert Middle Eastern kind of setting.
What can you give some tips to somebody who is buying the game? Maybe they just bought it this weekend, and they're going online, and there's already people with some of the unlocks. What's the best way to kind of get started and have a little bit of early success in the multiplayer?
I mean, I don't want to tell everyone to play as a team, because team play comes often after a while when you get more used to it. But if there's one thing that could help you out in the beginning, because even if you don't start a squad yourself and start playing with your friends immediately, you will automatically be assigned to a squad. And you could, in order to help you out a bit, just follow someone else around in the actual game. Because not only would that, you know, they will show you towards the objective, etc., but it will give you that additional firepower against that enemy that you come across. So when you're just oriented yourself around the map, that can probably be a good idea. And don't forget to use the VoIP in the game, because that really helps you out. You can talk together with your squad, and you can say, you know, point out the enemies, and that will really help you out in the beginning. The other tips would probably be that the first couple of ranks, you'll rank up pretty quickly, and you get like 1 or 2 unlock points in the beginning there. Spend those on the actual gadgets. And depending on which kind of kit the class you like to play, you can select the gadget for that one. So if you like to play the most basic assault soldier, for instance, unlock the health injector so you can heal yourself. Or if you play the support class, unlock the mortar strike or something like that, because those are very powerful devices that are more important to have before you start unlocking more weapons and these kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, those are some good tips. Now, before I let you go, I got to talk to you. Tell me what's going on with Conquest Mode.
Conquest Mode, well, I mean, this is something that was very based on the beta feedback that we got a while ago when we had that going on. I mean, a lot of the old-school fans of Battlefield were a bit disappointed that we didn't have Conquest in the game. We're shipping this with a brand-new game mode that we like to call Gold Rush. So we listened to that feedback, and we have now, we decided to actually put that make that available for everyone that buys the game. And the team have now been busy here for a couple of months of just creating that, and it's almost ready to be shipped off for testing and all these kind of things we have to do before we get it out to the public. So sometime now after the summer, it's going to be available for everyone that's bought the game, and it's going to be available for free, of course, and it's going to be the old classical conquest gameplay, a game mode where you run around and you capture flags. And comparing it to Gold Rush, it's much more open because the players get spread out over different bases. So it's not really as action-packed as the Gold Rush game mode, which I guess suits a lot of the different players as well. So I hope everyone is going to enjoy that.
I know people are going to be really excited about that, you know, because it's first of all, I want to congratulate you guys on shipping a wonderful game. It's always hard to ship a game. You guys shipped it, and it's getting great reviews. It really is. So I want to congratulate you on that for really,
thank you.
Really taking the Battlefield series and kind of making it next gen for us. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole idea. I'm really glad for that. Thank you.
So listen, Carl Magnuson, you're the senior producer for Battlefield Bad Company. We'll see you online. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Command & Conquer: Kane's Wrath in stores now, available worldwide. On the phone with me, Jim Vasella, producer. Jim, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Command & Conquer 3: Kane's Wrath is out. Tell us what this one's all about. It's obviously it's a descendant of Tiberium Wars, so let's talk about that.
Yeah, so we have an entire new campaign with over 30 minutes of new high-def live-action footage that's a classic to Command & Conquer. We have a new exclusive mode for the 360 called Kane's Challenge, which is a gauntlet of over 90 skirmish matches you can play. We have an online multiplayer for up to 4 players with 5 different gameplay modes. And then the kind of cool thing about Kane's Wrath is it's all wrapped together in this new interface that we're introducing for Kane's Wrath, which is what they called the radial interface. And this is just a brand new way to control RTS games on console, and it's a much faster, much more powerful for the user. And we've been getting great feedback on it this week since the game's been out.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's always a lot of the folks on the PC side have always shaken their heads and said, no, you can't really make an RTS go to a console because you only have the controller, you don't have the whole keyboard. But you with Tiberium Wars and now with Kane's Wrath, you managed to have done it.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. We've been doing this since Battle for Middle-earth 2, and so this is kind of our third attempt at the whole console RTS thing. And every time we keep getting better and better, and we really think that we've hit the nail on the head with Kane's Wrath, with the whole radial interface, so utilizing the analog sticks, and it's doing awesome. We've received great feedback from both the fans who've played it, from the critics. Game Informer recently said they think it's the best RTS control scheme on console. And so we're just really excited that we finally got it out there, and the feedback's been great.
So for those folks that played Command & Conquer 3 Tiberium Wars, what's the difference just in terms of the usability? You talked about the radial interface. What is the difference?
So the main thing is that on Tiberium Wars, you had to use the D-pad to go through all of your different build cues. So you would say you wanted to build a certain structure, you'd have to press down on the D-pad, maybe 4 or 5 times, and then press over on the D-pad, another 7 or 8 times to get to that structure that you wanted to build. Now with the radial interface, you can just hold down the right trigger and you get presented with kind of a 12-slot radial in the middle of your screen, kind of like a clock. And then from there, you can easily access those with the analog stick. So it's really just 1 or 2 button clicks away. And the other cool thing we've added is that by having some drill down and cycle through mechanics in that radial, you can now access unlimited build cues from anywhere on the map. So you never have to go, back to your base to try and find your extra production structures. You can do all that while in the middle of a battle, at your enemy's base. So it really allows players to focus more on the action than just their base management.
And I also want to be clear is that, and you actually put this on the boxes, you don't need Command & Conquer 3. This is not an expansion pack. This is a totally different game.
Yeah, so obviously you're going to get a lot of the content from Tiberium Wars in the game, a lot of the units and structures. But yeah, you do not require Tiberium Wars to play. We really wanted to make it more accessible, a great entry point for players to jump into RTS on consoles.
Can you tell me a little bit about Kane's Challenge? You mentioned that a moment ago, but can you go into a little more depth for me exactly what it is and how it works?
Yeah, so another cool thing that's in Kane's Wrath is we have 6 new sub-factions in the game, and so these are all kind of derivatives of our 3 core factions, all with their own exclusive new units and powers and upgrades. So we actually have a total of 9 factions, and so in Kane's Challenge, you can assume the role of one of those factions and then kind of fight in a ladder gauntlet against all the other factions that will be controlled by the AI. And so you kind of get this, Mortal Kombat-style kind of gameplay mode where you're kind of going up the ladder, challenging these harder and harder opponents. And it's just a great way to train up on all the new content, really get your feet wet with RTS if you haven't before. And then we also have exclusive new videos of Kane, Joe Coogan, doing his good stuff as he goes through, as he taunts and kind of encourages you, and also some, of course, achievements tied to that mode as well. So it's just a great way to kind of train up players before they take their game online.
Tell me about the Epic units. I was reading about those when I was playing the game.
Yeah, so the Epic units are kind of big game-ender units. So you have to build up a new structure to build these. You're going to get just this kind of giant war mech or giant battle tank that can then be garrisoned with different infantry to customize out their weapon sets. And it's really just kind of a devastating super weapon that when you roll it out on the field, your opponent better start reacting pretty quick or else they're going to be in big trouble.
The RTS genre, you know, you talked about it. This is your third iteration on this particular interface and whatnot, and it's been going well. To somebody who hasn't gotten into RTSs, what would be some of your tips to get started in them?
So, I mean, like I said before, Kane's Wrath, I think, is a great entry point just because it really takes that next step with the radial interface. So, you know, for someone new, I would say, you know, get in there, try the campaign, which, you know, ramps up easily in difficulty so that you can, you know, just kind of understand the mechanics. We have some tutorials in the game that will teach you kind of the basics. But the cool thing about Command & Conquer is that you can kind of, you know, take it to the advancement that you want. If you just want to build up, you know, a small base and build out a bunch of units and just select all of them and just move them towards your enemy base, you can do that. Or we've added, you know, even more advanced controls into the game, like reverse move and true force fire, so that, you know, as you start advancing your gameplay, you can start taking advantage of those styles to really take advantage of kind of the tactical depth that the game offers. So I would really just recommend that you try out the campaign. Kane's Challenge, again, is a great mode for new players, and just kind of experiment with the different strategies. And if you like playing multiplayer, we have a great mode called Siege, which basically puts up a barrier wall between you and your enemy for a set period of time so you can't attack each other. So it really just gives you a chance to kind of build up, you know, try out a new build order or something, and then kind of wage war after the fact. So lots of ways to kind of try out.
Yeah, that's kind of what I need, because I know when I go online in the RTSs, I kind of get schooled because I'm not really good at it. And I'm usually kind of really finicky about assembling my units, and all of a sudden over the mountain comes like this army and just decimates everything I have.
Yeah, rushing is definitely one of those troublesome points in online games if you're not prepared. So, the siege mode is really a great way for beginners to kind of feel safe in those first 5 to 10 minutes.
Well, cool. We'll take a look at that. Jim Vaselli, you're the producer. I usually ask folks what their gamer tag is. Where can people find you?
Yeah, so my gamer tag is Jimtern, so J-I-M-T-E-R-N. It kind of comes from my days of being an intern years ago here at EA. And so, I'd love to answer any questions that people have.
I appreciate that. There you go. Gamer tag Jimtern. Jim, thanks so much. Command & Conquer, Kane's Wrath in stores now, and we'll see you online.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jim and Carl, for joining me on this week's show. You heard a little bit about Kane's Wrath and Battlefield Bad Company, two games that E hasn't played yet. I've played both.
Very true.
You know what I'm going to ask for right now? And I actually have this in my notes. So when you went away on your holiday, we were, that's when I started getting into Battlefield. And you were like 2,000 points ahead of me in gamer score.
That's correct.
And right now I'm at 17,000, about 970, 971 or something like that. What are you at?
I'm at about 19,200 or so.
So basically, I'm closing in on you.
No, you had it down to 1,000 while I was gone, and now I've put 300 or 400 on you since I got back already.
So what I
and
need,
I've been sick during that time.
Yeah. So what I need is I'm going to turn to the community, and I think I know the answer to this, but let's get a little community involvement. What's a good couple thousand points that I can get easily and quickly so that I can completely pass E? And I already have Avatar. Let's be clear.
Yeah, you already have Avatar, and I don't,
so,
and I'm not going to,
right?
Because I'm not cheap like you. However, at some point, you should just acknowledge that even though you're constantly whining about how, oh, E doesn't finish games and I finish more games than E does, you've never had more gamer score than me, and you're never going to.
Well, that's where I'm gonna see if I can get the community to help me out with that challenge. So, email.
What are you gonna do? Have them come in your office and play like you do with KP?
Major at Xbox.com. Send me an email. Tell me which games I should have to completely decimate E. I want him out.
That's
like the third time I said decimate in this show. That's like my word of the week for some reason.
I was going to say, do you have one of those, you know, word a day calendars in your office?
Or? I don't.
Okay.
To completely destroy E.
Not going to happen.
All right, so now is the time of the show, and we do name the game.
We do name the game.
So let's go ahead and roll name the game from last week.
Oh, good. I haven't heard it yet.
As he said, he hasn't heard it, so he doesn't know what it is, but a lot of people do know what it is, and that was Don King Prize Fighter.
Okay.
So you can kind of hear
which
a little bit.
Which should have been an easy giveaway because it was an interview that week, and
right.
There's usually a tie in there if you
like. So I want to congratulate Water Boys. He is that's his gamer tag, again, with Leet Speed EC.
So
he got himself a nice Turtle Beach headset, hooked up, and cleared the way for a brand new Name the Game for you, dear listener, to participate in. If you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com, and I will enter you into a drawing to win cool prizes, including a Turtle Beach headset. So good luck, and congratulations to this week's winner. What?
I'm just trying to figure out if I know what that is.
Okay, well, continue
pondering. I'll ponder later. We can go back to recording now.
I'll have to go through. I don't think you played that one. I don't know if you have or not. So,
well, I will admit I've been a little behind lately. If I'd stop being sick, I'd catch up a little bit. Although, what's making it tough? This weekend's not helping. It's finally summer.
Yeah, it is. Summer's crept into the Northwest. Something
gorgeous
happened.
Gorgeous out.
Hey, do you have your Xbox 101 ready?
I do.
All right, let's go ahead and bring in your... What theme song would you like me to introduce you with? New school or old school?
I'm feeling old school today.
Xbox 101. This time with E.
So this one is very simple, and it's one of those ones where we're talking more Xbox Live etiquette rather than necessarily a particular tech thing.
And we've got over 12 million people on Xbox Live right now, so we need some type of etiquette. We need that etiquette book, and E is going to help us write it.
Yes, and this one's very simple.
E is the Emily Post of Xbox Live.
Not quite where I was going, but sure, we'll pretend for a minute.
Okay.
I wonder how many of our listeners know who Emily Post is.
I will link off to her Wikipedia page.
Okay, so before I left on vacation,
yes,
I cleared a whole bunch of slots on my friends list. Maybe, I don't know, 20 or so.
How come?
Just a bunch of people I hadn't played with in a long time. Mm-hmm. I thought, why not? And I was astounded at how many friend requests I got for which I had no context. No text message, no voice message, no nothing. Just a friend request.
Mm-hmm.
And like you and a lot of other people, unless I know the person, if I get a blank friends request, I don't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
So like you, I don't accept blank friend requests.
And I even have that in my bio.
Yeah, not that people are going to see that.
Right.
But I've thought about stealing that for my bio, but I decided it probably wouldn't matter, so I didn't bother.
Mm-hmm.
So I declined all the blank ones, and I got back from about half the people either a please or an angry, you know, what's wrong with you, you're a jerk, why wouldn't you accept my friend request?
Right.
And it's like, you know, like you said, there's 12 million people out there. Tell me why I want to be your friend. And this isn't something you should just do because, you know, we're here on this podcast. If you're sending anyone a friend's request and they have no idea who you are, tell them why they might want to be your friend.
Cause
we have this game in common. Or, hey, I want to play this game with you. Or just introduce yourself, even.
Right.
And I'm just, I don't know, it seems really obvious to me, but it is just astounding to me how many people don't do that.
So that's E's Xbox 101 tip for this week.
Yeah, just a little message.
Just a little message to help our Xbox Live community and audience just be a little better.
You know, hold each other's hands, sing Kumbaya, that kind of stuff.
My Lord.
Yeah.
So we're almost towards the end of the show, which is usually when we talk gadgets and stuff.
Gadgets and stuff.
Did you get any gadgets for your trip?
You know, I got a couple new DS games. Did I get any new gadgets? No. Actually, one of my favorite gadgets had a price drop, though.
Which is your Dash?
The Dash, yeah. They dropped $100.
Did you? So you actually sent me an IM about the Dash in Twitter. Talk about that.
I did?
Didn't you?
What? Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
I like the cold medicine has me slightly loopy here.
Right.
So the Dash people have opened up APIs where you can actually write your own little apps to run on the Dash.
Application programming interfaces.
There you go. And there is an app that you can download for free for your Dash Express GPS that will allow you to Twitter from the GPS device and will automatically put in your coordinates.
That's scary. Like, not coordinates, like the exact point where you are.
Yeah,
that's kind of
scary. Right here doing this. Like, I'm at Red Mill, and here's the north, southeast, you know,
yeah.
lat longitude.
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff in there. And I want to give those guys props. They dropped the price $100. And to the people who had bought them before a certain date, like me, they're giving away 3 months of free service as kind of a, hey, thanks for buying it at the original price. Instead of just,
don't be pissed at us.
Yeah, they didn't have to do anything. They did. It's a nice gesture.
Speaking of latitude and longitude, I don't think anybody's emailed me. I was actually a little disappointed in our audience because if you go to my my motto, if you look on Xbox Live in the console,
okay.
I changed the motto to a latitude, longitude. No one's figured out the coordinates yet.
When did you do that?
I did a while ago.
Okay, as soon as we're done recording, I'm gonna go look that up.
Is it at the bio or it's in one of the text fields? If you look on the console, you'll see that.
Wait.
So
when did you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking this up right now. Talk for a minute.
Okay. So what else? I could talk about gadgets. Actually, something I'm really pissed about. You know, we talked about Sirius earlier. They did a channel change this week, and they moved all the channels around, and they took one of my favorite channels away, which is Sirius Shuffle, which is a bad idea.
I don't even know that one.
It was basically a channel that was just random. It was all hit music. It was just random music. It could be rock. It could be country. It could be jazz. It could be anything. It was Shuffle. It was like, you know, put Shuffle on your iPod or Zune. So.
Oh, and across all the genres.
Right.
And
it would just pull out. The best one. This is really fun one. So.
Okay. I'll confess, I'm a serious customer. I didn't even know that was there.
Yeah, I listened to this, so just put that. So anyway, that's all. Okay. I got. Are you looking this up still?
I am. Yeah, I am.
Okay. But, so is it in there? Could you see it from the web?
I saw the GPS coordinates. I'm putting them in right now, so, and I don't know if I can actually put GPS coordinates into the screen. We're going to find out. Apparently not.
Well, that's why I wanted to make it a little mysterious.
Okay. This will be my project right after we're done here.
So that's, let's see, as far as gadgets are concerned, that's really...
Are movie recommendations gadgets?
Movie... Sure, go ahead.
So I saw Wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's an R-rated movie, so for some of our listeners, sorry, too bad, so sad. Mm-hmm. Although there were an awful lot of high school kids in there. If you don't take it too seriously.
No spoilers, E.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
Great, great movie.
Okay.
Half The Matrix, half Shoot 'em Up. And I mean Shoot 'em Up the movie, not Shoot 'em Up the genre.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say three words. They are in no way spoilers, but they capture the best moment of the movie. Zero, squeak, boom.
Doesn't mean a damn thing to anybody out there that hasn't seen the movie. So
no.
Thank you for completely alienating the audience.
But when that scene happened, the entire theater just busted up laughing. It was brilliant.
All right, so we're gonna wrap up the show now. Wait!
One other movie.
Oh, okay.
That actually I'm going to see later today.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've seen it yet or not. WALL-E.
I have not seen WALL-E. I'm gonna try to see that maybe tonight after we're done with the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's Pixar genius.
I need to throw the game in. I had the producer on for the game last week, so I need to go see it. My wife saw it and she loved it.
It's everything I've heard is it's just brilliant.
So up there, WALL-E. So, do you have anything else you want to add before we touch this baby down?
Yeah, I'd really like to not be sick anymore.
I agree. So I just want to remind people that certain sections of the show may contain forward-looking statements that are based on expectations, estimates, projections, and assumptions. Words such as expects, anticipates, plans, believes, scheduled, estimates, and variations of these words and similar expressions are intended to clarify forward-looking statements. I don't know where I found that. I just liked it.
That's off somebody's SEC.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. So something along those lines. But I enjoyed it. So
I know what those coordinates are.
You figured it out?
Yes.
Okay. Well, hopefully somebody else will figure it out as well. I don't want you to send me back, you know, what the actual coordinates. Tell me what it is. So hey, actually, I have one more thing to add before I saw this. Want to talk about Crew Fest?
Ooh.
The Rock Band Championship at each venue?
Absolutely.
So Crew Fest, for those Crew fans out there, it's going to kick off July 1st with Motley Crue, Buck Cherry, Papa Roach, 6 a.m., and a bunch of others. And they're going to be having Rock Band is going to be a major element of the tour. So you're going to be able to go there, and you're going to be able to you have to compete as a rock band in the championship, and then the winners are going to include the ability to meet some of the team, you meet some of the crew artists, and so on and so forth. So anyway,
That reminds me, actually, while I'm thinking of it, WCG was earlier this week.
Right.
The Pan Am Finals, I think it was.
Yes.
And I want to give props to Zune's sociable Xtina. She was up on Inside Xbox. She brought home a bronze medal for the Zune team on Guitar Hero 3.
Okay, good.
She's one of her own. I'm giving her some props.
I wanted to finish talking about this. So okay. Crewfest. We're going to just... Crewfest, check out rockfine.com. It's going to be... have all the details there, but it kicks off on the 1st and...
Wait, what's that? Give that URL again. I don't think you did it right.
Therockvine.com.
Okay.
Therockvine.com. And it kicks off West Palm Beach. It kicks off... the tour kicks off there, and it goes all the way through. It's one of these great summer tours that's going to kick off literally on August 31st in Pittsburgh. I'm just looking at these, all these venues, and they all have names.
Are they coming
now.
To Seattle? Yes, they are.
Where are they?
Right here.
On 8808. Ooh.
White River Amphitheater.
White River Amphitheater. There's my phone, and I'm going to send it to voicemail for some reason, because we're going to finish up the show now.
Oh, she's not going to be happy with you.
There you go. So we are done. We're done with the show this week. Thank you so much for downloading the show. Thanks to my good friends at Centricom.net, providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment. I also want to thank CashFly for their services. They're responsible for making the show, contributing to making the show what it is. So, E, do you have anything to add before we're done?
I'd like to thank the island of Hawaii for being awesome.
And I want to thank everyone else for being awesome. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thanks for downloading the show. Have fun, play fair, and send feedback. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Are you going to go to this crew thing, the Crew Fest?
I was never a big crew fan. There are some heavy metal bands I like, but I mean, they're okay, but I don't like them enough to go to a crew concert.
I did a couple crew concerts when I was doing radio. I don't remember where they were, though. It was a long time ago.
Well, you haven't done radio in a while.
I know, but I'm just trying to remember when the last time it was.
I mean,
oh, wait a minute. I think I know. Never mind.
Yeah, okay.
Summer shows, I love them. God, I love them.
Let's not go there. Your wife might be listening to the
show.
No. Yeah.
We went to one. I remember I took her to one. It was a James Taylor concert in Massachusetts at Tanglewood, which is like the famous place you go in Massachusetts to see concerts.
I didn't know there was a famous place in Massachusetts to see concerts.
Yeah, Tanglewood. And everybody in Massachusetts is going to know Tanglewood. I took her to Tanglewood one year to see James Taylor. It must have been 110 degrees in that venue. It was so damn hot. My eyelids were sweating. I remember it to this day.
What?
Yeah, the eyelids. I had sweat pouring out of my eyelids, and it was horrible.
That's a disturbing image.
Not fun. Anyway, so we missed you last week. I'll say that.
I didn't miss anyone.
I wouldn't either.
I didn't take my laptop.
Right.
I didn't check email. I was completely off the grid for 6 days.
That's like when I was off the grid when I went out on that cruise again. You know, when I went on the cruise and you were watching over things.
Yeah, but you still like checked in a couple of times. You were texting me.
I have trouble getting off the grid. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I know we talked about this, but I have a lot of troubles completely extracting myself from... the internets.
I'm slowly getting better at it bit by bit, and I can do it now for short stretches. It definitely makes me twitchy.
The funny thing is you and I are old enough to remember when there was no internets, you know, when there was, as there is today.
Yeah. And whereas people today, it's, you've grown up with it. How could you survive without it?
Yeah.
And we're addicted as bad as anybody.
I know people are going to, you know, there's actually, people used to actually use the phone book. There's a business I wouldn't want to be in right now. But yeah, the phone book used to use a phone book to look things up.
Yeah, I don't even know anyone's phone number. It's in my contact list.
And it's funny where we live in you know, in the Seattle area here. The local phone company, I think it's Verizon. I swear to God,
Verizon and Quest.
I think I get a phone book like every 6 months. There's a new one. I'm like, why are you sending this to me?
I literally put them directly in the recycling.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even go inside the house.
Do you have the same thing where you get a ton of them?
Yeah, yeah. I get like three of them, I think.
I'm just like, what are you guys doing to me? Leave me alone.
Yeah, stop killing trees. There's no point. I don't care. There's like a million different ways I can get a phone number. None of them involve a, you know, 5-pound book.
I was talking with a friend of mine from what?
Well, speaking of books.
Yes.
So this was my first like really serious uninterrupted reading time in months.
Yes.
Oh, I'd forgotten what a pleasure like being really relaxed with an awesome book could be.
Well, good.
Oh,
good.
I read the new Peter Hamilton.
Yes.
Sci-fi author. Big hardback, like 600 and some pages, and read it pretty much in one stretch, just laying there on a lounge chair with some drinks. Get another drink, 5 minutes in the ocean, back for another 100 pages.
Is that?
That was so relaxing.
Is that not the most beautiful place to watch the sunrise and sunset in the world?
Oh, it was great. We were on, our room was 10th floor, ocean view. And on the last day, it's like, oh, we've gotten enough sun. Maybe we should get out of the sun. We just went up to the balcony and put our feet up on the balcony rail, put my Zune down with the speakers, put some music on, and just sat there for a couple hours.
Really?
Oh. God, and listening to the waves crash, and a couple of birds came to visit, so we gave them some snacks, and oh, it was brilliant.
Yeah, when I do that, I go diving. You know, I want to dive in Hawaii, because that was some of the best diving I've ever had.
We were talking about that. My certification is lapsed, so I would have had to gone through it anyways.
You and I should go diving.
I've got to get recertified. That's
recertified, come on.
I would love to go diving again, but we needed to unwind so bad that we literally couldn't get the energy up to do anything.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is sometimes.
So next vacation, I'll be more active.
All right, so, you know, we didn't talk about this in the main show, but I think there's a show next week. We're getting, just to let everyone know, we're getting really close to E3, the Entertainment Electronics Expo down in Los Angeles, which is the third week of July. So as we get closer to that, I've got a lot of work to do. And I can't talk about that work until E3. But that's the, I think it's the 14th through the 17th in Los Angeles. So we're getting pretty darn close to that. So I don't know if there's going to be a show next week on the 6th. There may not be one on the 13th, but I'll definitely have the, as I usually do when I travel, is I'll have the Microsoft keynote, which is Monday. I'll have it up like an hour later.
So
that's a show.
That actually reminds me of something that we should have talked about in the main show, and we managed to completely space it. So I'll just hit it now. The Big Picture event that happened last week.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So this was a Games for Windows-focused event that was held in San Francisco, where we talked about some very cool titles coming to Games for Windows, like the new Call of Duty World at War, but also Space Siege, Devil May Cry 4 is coming to Games for Windows, Bionic Commando, Age of Conan, which is out now, some cool new, really shiny graphics cards. Some nice DirectX 10 cards. And this was kind of our big summer event for PC gaming.
Right. Oh, he's not feeling well.
Excuse me. E3 now has really gotten to the point where it's very console focused. So Microsoft is going to be talking about 360 stuff at E3. And we're not going to see a bunch of Games for Windows stuff there. So this was... Okay, with my last breath, I'll finish this thought. This was our big summer Games for Windows push.
Right.
So throw the link up on the link dump, and if people want to see what's coming for Games for Windows, I think we talked about 15 or 20 new titles.
Right.
And that's the place to check them out.
So that's and if you want more information, you can go over to the Gamerscore blog guys cover these. Tony and Chris went down to San Francisco, so they've got a bunch of coverage up there, and they're sprinkling it around the net, like the little digital pixies they are.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you know those guys, it's actually pretty funny. I love those guys. So there, go check that out. And they do Games for Windows stuff. They do some great coverage over there. So so you can keep you. So thanks for remembering that, E.
Yeah, I just realized something else we forgot.
Oh, geez, what?
Top 10.
Did we forget a top 10?
We totally forgot the top 10.
Well, it's up on. You can check it out at the blog.
I'll give the top 3. Call of Duty 4, Halo 3, GTA 4. And then other stuff.
The Battlefield demo's in there as well, and it'll be interesting for the next one coming up. We'll see who's see if the Finnish game.
I think the Battlefield demo was fourth. Again.
Yeah, it was I think it was definitely top 5.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Battlefield does next week.
Rock on! All right, we're gonna we may or may not be next week. As I said earlier, this is when I started this section. I don't know if we're gonna be back because it depends on scheduling. If I can hustle up some guests, we're getting.
I could be dead.
Yeah, that could be too. E and I, if that's the case, we'll have a memorial service for E. In the meantime, send me an email, major@xbox.com, with your guess for Name the Game as well as any games you think I can pick up some quick gamer score so I can beat E on.
You can't.
Yes,
give
I
it
can.
Up right now.
All right, so to the challenge.
Don't make. Yeah, I will beat you, and I will not have to play Avatar to do it.
All right, we'll see you next time. We'll see you when we see you. Bye-bye.